Good morning, church. It's so nice to be here with you all on this lovely Sabbath day. So as Elder Howard has told you, the children will be doing the preliminaries today. And to support them, I was hoping I could ask you, as many of you as possible, if you could turn on your cameras so they can see your smiling faces, so they can get your encouragement and be able to function so fully and happily, knowing that the church family is supporting them. So please, 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 can you turn your cameras on so that they can feel your support and love. Right, so the first person, according to the program, to do something this morning, or persons, I should say, are the lovely twins, Michaela and Malia, who will be doing the welcome, followed by the opening song, which we played, and it's called Standing on the Promises. So over to you, Michaela and Malia.
Good morning, chat. Welcome to our divine service.
As we fellowship on Women's Emphasis Day, we're glad that you are here to worship with us today.
Have a blessed day.
Welcome. Happy Sabbath.
A wonderful rendition of Standing on the Promises. We will now have the scripture reading, which will be read to us by Dakari Andrew. And the scripture reading comes to us from Matthew, from the book of Matthew, and talks about shining your light. So if Dakari can just unmute and get right in the middle of the camera so we can all see him, and then you can just read the scripture reading for us. Over to you, Dakari.
This scripture reading is taken by Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Amen. Thank you so much. Beautifully read, Zakari. Thank you so much. Now we're going to have the prayer, which will be done by Alyssa Bulgin. Now she's going to ask you all to get into the attitude of prayer. Over to you, Alyssa.
Can you please close your eyes and bow your heads? Dear God, thank you for this beautiful Sabbath morning and for allowing us all to be here together today. Please continue to help us to shine your light across the whole world as we continue to dwell in your presence. As today is Women's Ministries Emphasis Day, I lift up all the women in our church in prayer to you, our mothers, aunties, grandmothers, sisters. I pray that you will guide and lead them, strengthen them into the purpose you have for each and every one of them. I pray for our pastor as we hear today's sermon through him, and that we will apply today's message as we leave here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We will now hand over to Bryvan Petrie, who will do the offering. So Bryvan, can you please do the offertory for us?
Good morning, church. From the moment we join Sabbath school, we are taught that God loves a cheerful giver. We learn about the widow's mite, the boy who gave us 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and how God multiplied what was given. Your faithful generosity goes a long way. If you miss the collections of tithes and offerings last week, you can still give using these details. Sort code 090127, account number 88676252, account name Seventh Day Adventist Church. Before I pray, I would like to say a big thank you to all the members and friends who have given so generously to the Children's Ministries Department. If you still want to donate to our projects, please contact Auntie Caroline for more details or give directly to Church Bank details, quoting the reference children. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to give to you and to bring light and joy to your children here and around the world. Please bless what is given and multiply it over and over. We pray that you will always provide for us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bryvan. That was beautifully done. Thank you. We will now hand over to Elder Howard Kelly, who will do the introduction of the speaker. Thank you. And thank you so much, children.
Good morning. I just want to say I'm so pleased. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed all the children to step up. Thank you so much, children. And I'm very happy to be getting all of you to help me today. Thank you. And our speaker today is our resident pastor, Pastor Jerry Vincent. Try to look past him. He's somewhere there, though. I can't. My screen doesn't show him, but I am told he's here. And we just want to welcome you, Pastor, to the podium as well. We haven't heard from you for a while, so we just want to say May God, Holy Spirit, take control and bless you as you present. I know there's a little mix up in women's emphasis, but we will just thank you for just presenting for us today. Thank God for everything that he has done for you and for us. May there be a blessing for each of us in your message. Amen.
In the beginning, God saw that light was good. Without light, there'll be a void and mankind would lose their way. Knowing this, Jesus, the light of the world, taught that our light should shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. So what light do people see in you and me? Does it reflect God's love and does it make a difference? So in our act of discipleship, let's continue to shine our lights, using our gifts to reach a needing world.
I'm gonna let it shine. Some light you burning, some dark.
Amen, everyone. Amen. Yeah. Happy Sabbath to you all. I just want to apologize for this day. The speaker, or the speakers, there are two speakers planned for today. It was supposed to be Women Ministries Emphasis Day. I do not feel that I would do it justice, and they have given me another time when they can come and preach for us. Now, you know, in this pandemic in Stoke Newington, I believe the majority of those who have passed away were women, and faithful women at that. So today I'm not going to be, although I'm going to be talking about a specific woman, it's not Women Emphasis Day. I'm going to leave it for those two ladies when they come and they can share the word with us. Is that okay? Now, when I was about 7, 8 years old, my siblings, my other two brothers and I, we had a goat. One of those small billy goats. Not the big white ones, just a small black and grayish billy goat. Now, you know, goats are very stubborn. The opposite is the lamb, which is most submissive. You know, I've always been amazed how a goat can generate so much power from only a feet away from you. Now, when a goat boots you, it feels like you have been hit with a sledgehammer. That goat is so powerful. Now, this little billy goat we had was our pet. And we treated it as such. Now, all three of us, before school in the morning time, we'd get up early before school begins, and we'd go and get food for our rabbits and also for the goat. All that before we go off to school. Now, one day, my dad decided it's time to have some curry goat and rice. So you guessed it, he decided to put our pet goat on the menu. We pleaded for that poor goat to no avail. Now, my brothers and I, we could not bear to watch our beloved pet put to death or listen to its cries as life was leaving its body. My mom curried that goat so good. Now, I know everyone loves a good curry goat. Rice and peas and roti was on the menu as well. Now, that was the kind of meal that would make you lick your fingers and without any shame, lick the plate. It was smelling so good. It was a feast for a king. Well, my brothers and I, Tony and Peter, we became at that moment like the three Hebrew boys. We refused to eat the king's meat. We refused to eat our pet. It was our pet. Would you eat it? We sat on the table looking at our pet on the plate. We could not eat. Now, my dad, whose plate is always filled like a mountain, could not eat the goat. In fact, we had to give it away because nobody ate the goat. My mom, my dad, we did not eat that goat. Imagine having to bring your best goat or your best sheep or lamb every time you sin. as a sacrifice. You know, it was like that once in Israel. For there is a message in the sacrifice. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, faithful guide, ever near the Christian side, please reveal yourself to us today. Give us directions. Show us the way forward. And may we, Lord, walk in it. Help us to keep your Sabbath holy by worshiping your Lord in spirit and in truth. And speak to us your words that may draw us closer to you. Hide me in the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus take over. Let Jesus speak to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I love my Jesus. He makes it plain. Always does. He tells you it as it is. What you see is what you get. No sugarcoating of the truth. No excuses. No beating about the bush. You know, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the same I am of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was the one who spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He was the one who spoke to Cain after he killed his brother Abel. The one who spoke to Noah. The one who spoke to Moses. Anywhere God has spoken to man in the Old Testament, it was Jesus. Now, here is a gem worth looking into. At the baptism of Jesus, the Father actually spoke. Now, I wonder where else in the Holy Scriptures that this has also happened. Here is a homework for you. I want you to turn with me to the book of John, John 8. I would like to take you on a journey of self-discovery. The Lord, our God, wants to speak to you today. Hear what I said. He wants to speak to you today. He needs your undivided attention. Now, we see in this chapter, Jesus being presented with a very difficult situation. John chapter 8, a very difficult situation. The leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, brings before Jesus a woman who was caught in adultery. In the very act, the author emphasizes, in the very act. Now, the first mistake they made was to ask advice of Jesus. For they said that Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But Jesus, what do you say? What do you think? Now, I honestly hope you are getting this. They have just asked a question to the only person in the kingdom of God in whom the Bible says, Galatians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures and wisdom of wisdom and knowledge. Let me read it again. In whom they have just asked a question to the only person in the kingdom of God, in God's universe, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What were they thinking? Now, let's put the cards on the table. This woman was an adulterer. She was married. Here she was caught in the very act with another man, not her husband. Now, you can't get much clearer than that. Now whether the other man, the man was married, scripture remains silent. However, whether he was committing fornication or whether he was committing adultery, the penalty was the same. Stoning to death. You see, what the leaders said were true. She ought to have been stoned. Now, here she is, trembling on the ground, with her life slowly dwindling away. Now, what was she going to do? But, you know, I guess by now she may have heard of Jesus already. You know, brothers and sisters, Jesus always brings hope to the weary. And while she may have been thinking, what's going on here? What's going to happen to me? What could Jesus do for her? After all, she had been caught in the act. Game over. You know, I am so glad that Jesus does not play according to our pretentiousness of holiness. For Jesus knows our heart. For the Bible says, the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I believe that Jesus looked into a heart. And what he saw displeased him. But he saw somebody like us that he can work with. If the truth be told, this was the best thing that could have happened to the woman. Did you hear what I said? Somebody needs to say amen. This was the best thing to happen to the woman. Now, you might be saying, well, what are you saying, Pastor? You know, although the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall of the living God, that's Hebrews 10:31. The Bible also says, and David said it, I am in great strait. Let me fall now into the hands of the Lord. For very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hands of man. 1 Corinthians 21:13. Did you hear what David said? Let me fall into the hands of God, for very great are his mercies. You see, when they brought the woman to Jesus, they were doing her a favor. Did you hear what I said? Somebody say amen. When they brought the woman to Jesus, they were doing the woman a favor. Sometimes when we're brought into difficulties, we can see only doom and gloom, but maybe God is working on your behalf to do something good for you, and your enemies may be doing you a favor, but they do not realize they are doing it. You see, they were bringing her to whom there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They were bringing the woman to the Savior. You can't get better than that. Are you listening to me? Do you know that the best place to bring a sinner is at the feet of Jesus? What was the scribes and Pharisees thinking of? The Bible says that there is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, "Who I am chief." Jesus' mission, saints of God, was and is to save sinners. Matthew 9:13 says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Do you hear what I said? At the feet of Jesus is mercy. They were bringing the woman into the presence of a merciful God. Mark 2:17 says, on hearing this, Jesus told them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So when the so-called righteous ones brought the woman to Jesus, they were behaving as evangelists. Did you hear what I said? Shall I repeat it? When they brought the woman to Jesus, they were evangelizing, but they did not know it. They were bringing a sinner to Jesus. Luke 15:2. So the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, let us understand this. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, welcomes sinners. For the Son of Man have come to seek and save the lost. There's a song that says that the feet of Jesus is the place for me. There in sweet service would I ever be. The trap was now set, like a mouse trap. The woman was the bait, the cheese. Jesus was the intended victim, the unsuspecting mouse, as they thought. They felt that they were closing in on Jesus. Would he take the bait? They felt victory was assured. For the Bible says, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Hebrews 8:6. You see, what they thought was that any answer from the lips of Jesus would discredit him in the eyes of the people. If he had said, stone the woman, she's an adulteress, she needs to be stoned. That's what the law says. There would be a problem with Rome. A problem with Rome. Who were the overlords of Palestine? For at the time, Rome ruled that part of the world. Israel were in subjection to their rulership. On the other hand, if he did not abide by the law of Moses, he might lose credibility and the people might turn away from him. It was a win-win situation, they thought. You know, at that point, what did Jesus do? The Bible says, Jesus stooped down with his fingers, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. When you are dealing with issues affecting people's salvation, you need to be very careful what you are saying. Do you hear what I said? You need to be very careful what you are saying. Oh, yes, we need to stand up for truth. Yes. However, the end does not justify the means. You know, God is so good. One of the first things you should do in the morning is claim this promise. Write it down. Claim this promise. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Before you attend any meetings, church meetings, especially business and church board meetings, claim this promise. Don't just bend down your head. Just somebody shout, amen. Claim the promise. because you're dealing with people's salvation. We need wisdom. See, well, we are talking about wisdom. We know about the wisdom of Solomon. You remember the baby he gave orders to cut in half or cut in two? And the royal mother cried out, and she said, give it to the other lady. You know that story, don't you? We marvel at that piece of wisdom. However, I believe that does not compare to what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, what Jesus said to the leaders. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Game over. Why did they bother to come? Why did they bother to bring the woman to Jesus? That was the knockout blow. Harder than any knockout blow from maybe Arn, Mike Tyson, or George Foreman. Don't judge me. They were out cold now. They were winded. Somebody needs to throw in the white flag. Just a few words from the lips of Jesus and game over. Well, hold on a minute, Pastor. Do not be so hasty. You forget something. What's that? The scribes and Pharisees were there. These are holy men of God. They fast twice in the week, give tithes of all that they possess, even tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. They were exact in the way that they serve God. These were holy, holy men of God. They would pass a sick man on the road on the Sabbath because they do not want to defile themselves. They wanted to give God the best. You can't get any holier than that. Bad mistake, Jesus. You didn't think this thing through. No, I'm shocked, you know. I'm shocked. Remember when Elijah was in a state of despondency? He seemed all alone in the fight against the enemies of God. Then God politely says to him, listen, I have left me 700 in Israel, all the knee which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Now think about this, saints of God. Are you really telling me there was not one among the leadership in Israel, the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, there was not one among them that day who felt worthy enough to cast the first stone? Not one? What about Stoke Newington? Do not worry, I'm not going there. The scripture says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I'm shocked, once again, that Jesus actually penetrated their conscience. Maybe that day led to some in the crowd to become followers of Jesus before and after his death. But you can read on, the eldest left first. That's strange. What's going on here? The patriarchs of Israel left first. Now, if they are not worthy to stone the woman, then who is? No arguments, no fussing, no fighting. Mission accomplished. a sinner, and maybe many other sinners, have just been saved by grace. For when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" "Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You know, out of all we have looked at today, we need to remember the words of Jesus: "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." The Bible says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You know, the Bible says that in the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. You see, God does not judge you for what you do not know. So in the book of Numbers 15:27, it speaks to us. And I want you to listen as God speaks to you. "And if any soul sin through ignorance," we're talking about ancient Israel, but it's relevant now. "And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering." So if you sin through ignorance, you can bring an offering to God. Through ignorance. Now, this is known as the sin of omission. Omission. O-M-I-S-S-I-O-N. The sin of omission. It is a sin committed because of neglect to do what is right. There are good works left undone. Works that God expects us to do, but we don't do them. Examples could be including not praying. Anybody there? Not forgiving others. Anybody there? Not confessing your faith in Christ. Anybody there? And his word to others when you have the opportunity. These are sins of omission. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him the Bible said is sin. Then the Lord goes on to say in that same chapter, Numbers 15:30, "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he was born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people." This is known as the sin of commission, C-O-M-M-I-S-S-I-O-N. You've got the sin of omission, and you've got the sin of commission. Now, sins of commissions are those sinful actions that are proactively done, that are willfully done. More obvious, overt, sinful acts, like lying, adultery, swearing, murder, etc., are examples of sin of omission. When the message is being preached, listen to me, when the message is being preached and you're focusing on your phone, what's on your phone? What you think you're doing? Don't want to say it. Whoever you put before God becomes your God. The Lord says, "Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me." And if you have gods, any other God before Jehovah God, then you are breaking the commandments. Now, the sin of commission is willful, deliberate sinning. You know it's wrong. You do it. Now, in the days of the woman caught in adultery, as it was in ancient Israel, back in times of Moses and Joshua, and all the elders and leaders of Israel. There was no provision in the sanctuary service for willful sinners. If you sin willfully and is found out, you will be stoned to death. You hear what I said? Whatever sin you committed and it was known by the people, you will be stoned to death. No if and buts would help you. Under the Jewish economy, the woman caught in adultery could not bring a goat to atone for her sins. Now, this is to let you know how serious sin is. How serious sin is. But I'm so glad for this text of scripture. It gives me hope. It gives me hope. For in the time of Jesus, if you sin willfully, that law was still binding. You would be stoned to death. No excuse for willful sinning. But I'm so glad that when Jesus came, 1 John 2:1 says, I am sure the woman caught in adultery was glad for this text as well. The Bible says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And the Bible says that you sin not. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God does not want you to sin. And as a minister, a sinner saved by grace, I have to echo the same words to myself every single day in my life. Sin not. But I'm so glad, I'm so thankful for Jesus. For if any man sin, and it's the if what's important here. It's the if that's important here. And if means you don't have to. Did you hear what I said? You can't say, oh, I'm only human. You're not only human anymore. You are baptized, born again, spirit-filled Christians. You are more than human. You have the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. You are more than human now. In fact, you can say you are superhuman. So you can't keep hiding behind, I'm only human. I can't help myself. It's my human nature. No, no, no. You are born again. That old nature has been put aside. Yes, it may raise its ugly head once in a while, but that's not the trend of your life. So the Bible says, if you sin, if you happen to fall, it does happen. If you happen to fall, don't worry. Don't rejoice in it, but don't worry. Don't let it consume you. You know, when I first came into the faith, when I did something I know is wrong, I would feel awful for days. I would feel so unworthy. Sometimes I didn't feel like going to church because I felt that I'm not good enough. But you know, age brings reason and understanding. When I do happen to transgress, I can open my Bible and I can read, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let me tell you something. Many feel because we have an advocate with the Father, we can go and sin and we can come to Jesus and confess our sins. That's true. That's very true. But I want you to know this. every sin has its consequences. So even if Jesus forgives you, the consequences do not go away. Did you hear what I said? Does not go away. You know, it was grace in the form of Jesus that saved the woman on that fateful day. It was grace that is saving us every single day of our life. Somebody say amen. Just that amen. Thought, that grace is saving us every single day of our lives. So I'm saying to you today, do not hate your brother. Go and sin no more. Pay your tithes and offerings and love God. Go and sin no more. Stop telling lies about your fellow believers in Christ. Go and sin no more. Stop breaking the Sabbath and making excuses. Go and sin no more. Stop taking a little wine for the stomach's sake. Go and sin no more. He or she is not your husband or your wife. Go and sin no more. Stop living in sin or living as husband and wives. Go and sin no more. The list can go on and on and on. Go, Jesus says to us, go and sin no more. You get the point? As I close, I put myself in the crowd on that fateful day. I guess I may be one of those who would have been getting ready to stone the woman. After all, she was an adulteress. Her poor husband must be at home crying. And who's that man that she is with? Why don't she leave that man alone? You know how women think. She must have beguiled the poor man. And I'm there, I'm ready to stone. And you know, if you know me, I'll be looking for the biggest stone, not only a big one. And maybe I'll throw more than one. So I'm getting ready, you know, I'm getting ready to stone the woman, you know. I just know Jesus is a good man, and he's going to say, stone the woman, because she's a bad woman. Jesus is a good man, but she's a bad woman. Men are biased that way. So I'm there, just waiting but Jesus is just writing on the ground. I'm getting ready to stone that woman, you know. But Jesus is only writing. And then the leaders, they repeat to Jesus what they said before. Then Jesus said to them, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. You see, when Jesus spoke that bombshell, I just know that would have hit me hard. I can imagine at that point, my whole life flashing before me. All the things that I've done, even the things I'm doing right now. And that stone just somehow just dropped from my hands discreetly, hoping that nobody sees that stone fall into the ground. I would be speechless at what Jesus has just said. And if the truth be told, my brothers and my sisters, if the truth be told, I would discreetly walk away. I'm going to meet my wife. I would have made some kind of excuse and depart from that scene. What about you? What would you have done? My brothers and sisters, I want you to reflect on this today. If you were in the crowd, what would you have done? Eyes are closed, heads are bowed as we pray. Lord Jesus, there are some things we don't like to hear, Lord. And some things, as Christians, we do not want to admit. But Lord, we are all sinners, saved by grace. And like the woman caught in adultery, Jesus is there, just waiting for us to come to him. Oh yes, he will forgive us. He will have mercy on us because he is a merciful God. But he will also tell us, because he knows the seriousness of sin. How it will drag us down to the pit. And all how we may try to get out. And even when we are out of the pit, because we were in the pit, it has scarred us. And there are things that we cannot forget. There are things that has happened that we cannot erase. So he says to us, you're out of the pit now. Please go and sin no more. So Lord, help us to accept this admonition as you speak to us. Help us understand there is no little sin or big sin, no little lie or big lie. It was only a small one. A small sin, a big sin, has the same consequences. And it doesn't, Lord, help us to realize it doesn't matter whether a pandemic is on. You will not compromise your law. You will not compromise your word to say, well, time out. There's a pandemic on. I'm going to bend a little and change a little. No, Lord. Nothing has changed, Lord. So please, help us to understand. Pandemic or no pandemic, each one of us have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, what shall pray? Indeed I find thy power and thy love.
Heavenly Father, dismiss us from this part of the service, but not from your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.